This episode of TMS is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace.com. Go get a fantastic website made by using the best templates, tools available to anyone, anywhere. Squarespace.com has a free trial. You can go give it a shot without putting in a credit card or anything. If you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout. That'll get you 10% off your account. That's Squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. Coming up on TMS, Alaska does weed every day.
Nerdtacular tickets are live!
Avengers 2 gets a sweet poster.
Ghostbusters is based on The Walking Dead.
Pee-wee pees on Netflix.
Oh no. Nutella, it's like a SpongeBob all of a sudden. Nutella just about killed people.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
There's a whole new way it moves today. Places to go, go, people to see. You gotta keep up with your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
You can keep on moving with tricks. Dark red caramel satisfaction. Like cookie cookie, get your back in the action. Twix,
Twix, Twix,
yeah.
Sticks a Twix, get fixed.
Yeah,
Twix, keep your motor humming while you're yum, yum, yummin'.
Keep on moving with Twix.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
The Morning Stream. Rambling goes in, podcast comes out. You can't explain that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is The Morning Stream for Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Nerdtacular Ticket Day.
Woohoo!
Yay! If you're listening to the show and you're new, well, you won't know what that is, so go to nerdtacular.com. If you do know what that is, then you already maybe already have your tickets because you're coming. Or if you're on the fence, I'd hurry up because it seems like there's weirdly going faster this year than they have in years past. So I don't know why that is, except whatever. I always worry about this, Brian, right up to the wire. Like,
sure.
It's going to go up and nobody's going to come.
What if I threw a party and nobody came?
Yeah, there's always that feeling, but then all these people sign up for tickets and then it's all fine. But
of course, because we love Nerdtacular. It's such a great time to hug and fondle some of your favorite Frog Pants All-Stars. And
I would like to state here that Brian's mention of fondling is not the belief held by the official Nerdtacular team or its sponsors.
The views expressed by Brian Ibbett do not reflect those.
Yes. Go check it out, though. Nerdtacular.com. There's a link all over the place for buying your tickets. You just click it. Off you go to Eventbrite, and all your options are there. There's some cool premium tickets as well as just the standard ass get you in the door stuff. And details about this show and event are forthcoming in terms of what's happening this year versus other years. There's links to old videos and photos from previous years. It is very exciting. So go do that. More on the way. We wanted to make sure you guys knew about it first. Launching it right here on TMS, one of the tent poles of the Frog Pants Network.
Woo!
Doot, 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 doot. Okay. Hey, by the way, that song, that thing you heard at the beginning, this right here, let me play it one more time.
The best part.
What does that sound like to you?
It sounds like Cher.
Well, you would be right in that it is a Cher impression.
Cher personator, yeah.
It was, what's her name on Jimmy Fallon? Freaking, now her name just left me. The one on The Voice. What's her name?
Oh,
Christina Aguilera. She does these amazing impressions of singers.
Yeah, I saw a tweet about her doing a Britney Spears impersonation.
It is crazy good. Like,
weird.
All of them that she did were insanely, like, accurate.
Weird.
And I'm sure, you know,
you would not expect her to be like, you know, the Fred Travellina of The Voice. ask your parents.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm going to have to ask my parents. I always forget who Fred Travellina is. You know, the first big voice impersonator for me was that
Rich Little
guy. Yeah.
Sure.
With his Reagan and his whatnot. He was huge in the day.
Yeah, and it's funny how so many of those guys settled into a Las Vegas residency for a while that where they still continue to do exactly the same voices. Like, you know, how relevant is a Nixon impersonation in 2013?
Yeah, not very, right?
How relevant is a Johnny Carson impersonation?
Yeah, I think the Carson maybe has a little few more legs to it, but we're in a different time now, and I don't know who do you mimic now, I wonder. Like, no one's doing it, really. There's Christopher Walken, but that, you know, that eventually will go away.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's doing impressions of, like, new up-and-comers now, the way they may have done James Cagney.
No, you
Cagney
really don't see that often. Like,
it's falling out of favor, man.
It seemed like you'd get some... God, who would people impersonate today? Buscemi, maybe?
Buscemi, maybe. Yeah, that'd be all right. Who else? That's it.
Who's the... Well, the guy... there was the other guy who was in Vegas for a while, whose name escapes me, but he does the killer John Madden and...
Oh, Caliendo. Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo, yeah. He was in Vegas for a while. He's residency, great. I think, at Monte Carlo, and was great.
Yeah, he's funny, dude. But yeah, I just think we're in a weird era where we don't... Where that either it's not cool as much as it used to be to be an impersonator, or they just aren't good people to impersonate anymore. I don't know.
That seems crazy.
It does seem
crazy. I mean, there's always going to be people to impersonate.
Well, you'd think. Rich Little, by the way, 76 years old, still kicking it.
Oh, well.
Lives
still pulling out that Nixon impersonation, yeah, for people.
It's relevant, man. Relevant. Putting his fingers up. I'm not a crook. Yeah, I know the stuff. Anyway, hey, look at this. So you live in Colorado.
I do. You're right.
You were the second state to formally legalize recreational use of cannabis, correct?
Weren't we tied for first with Washington?
Maybe. Where it was about the same. In the
it was midnight there an hour earlier that they think they're first. Are they putting that on their license plates?
I think so. We were first, and then
first
smoke weed every day at the bottom.
Well, first in this kind of flight.
So anyway, well, to me the writing was on the wall, and I've always been kind of I don't do drugs, I don't drink even, I'm not really into substances of other sorts or whatever. But it's never I've always kind of scratched my head, and we'll get emails about this, and someone's going to be mad, but. The idea that pot, this herb that grew out of the ground and somebody tried once and went, ooh, this is nice, is more demonized than, say, alcohol, which is typically a much more synthesized human creation that has way more repercussions, has always been a little odd to me, you know?
It's just fermented berries, really.
Well, it is, but my point is, if we don't care about that, why do we care about pot?
Right. I mean, I would say, you know, if you're going to compare it to something synthesized, well, I guess meth isn't legal.
No, but meth is meth is a harsh, horrible, addictive, wipe you out, kill you drug.
Right.
Pot and alcohol to less excess are just they're kind of in the same category. So this idea that we have got this demonization of pot over all these years has always just struck me as weird. Even as a kid, I just kind of thought, well, I understand heroin. I understand cocaine. I get it. Why those are what they are and why they're classified as what they are. But why is pot in there with that? That seems weird to me. And I never even tried the stuff. I don't even know what pot... I know what pot smells like because I went to a Kiss concert. I know what's up. I've smelled it on the others, but I don't have any concept of what it actually is. So I'm no big, like, proponent of it or whatever. I just think if you're going to have one that's freely available and one that's, like, horribly illegal and behind all kinds of closed doors... It always seemed weird to me. So to me, when these two states, your state and the state of Washington, said, yeah, it's fine, whatever, we'll have dispensaries and do our thing, I kind of went, oh, well, that makes sense to me. Finally, after all this time, it makes sense that thing would be lobbied for and therefore would pass. And again, it doesn't affect me. I don't give two shits. It's not going to make me start smoking pot.
Right.
But who knew that Alaska would be the third state... to legalize recreational marijuana, the state with tons of untapped oil, a bunch of wildlife we need to protect.
A place where you can see Russia from your house.
Yeah. She's there. She's right there living there. What's her name? Sarah Palin.
That's right.
And all the Palins are living there. And they got
Wasilla.
Yeah. They got Maurice there, who's trying to run that small town while that guy's on the radio in the morning. And
the moose.
Yeah.
Walking down the middle of Main Street.
Everything I know about Alaska comes from freaking
the opening credits of Northern Exposure.
I love that show so much. anyway, they are now the third state. Smoking, growing, possessing, all that stuff. It's going to be legal in America's wildest state on Tuesday, thanks to a voter initiative aimed at clearing away 40 years of conflicting laws and court rulings. This makes Alaska the third state to legalize recreational marijuana as the goal of a coalition including libertarians. Oops. I don't want to besmirch.
Man, that Dewey Decimal System, man.
Yeah, did you check that? You owe $4 on your book, man. Rugged individualists and small government Republicans who prize the privacy rights enshrined in the state's constitution. So some people you don't always expect bellying up to the vote there. When they voted 53-47% last November to legalize marijuana used by adults in private places, they left many of the details to lawmakers and regulators to sort out. So, meanwhile, Alaska Native leaders, you know, the ones that owned the joint before the white man came, you know what I mean? We're a bunch of douchebags, these white folk.
Right.
Anyway, Alaska Native leaders worried about legalization will bring new temptations to communities already confronted with high rates of drug and alcohol abuse, domestic violence, and suicide. It's an interesting point from that perspective. And look, I'm not saying that marijuana won't cause problems in some ways if it's legalized and all over the place. I'm just saying it won't cause more than alcohol already does. And that one is legal. So that's all I'm saying.
And who knows? I mean, there may be proof against this or proof to support it, but I would think that when it's in, you know, if it's something that's hard to get or illegal to get, you're actually going to run into more crime as people try to procure something.
Yeah.
Than if it's available with an ID, with some sort of proof of who you are, how old you are. I mean, I don't know. That's
what happened in Prohibition, dude. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like, that Ken Burns Prohibition documentary is frickin' fantastic. Not just because it's Ken Burns.
Sure.
Mama, I'm writing this letter from prison. I done tried to move alcohol over from the Canadian border. Your son. That's my Ken Burns documentary impression
It's fantastic. It's well done.
Thanks. Did you see the photo?
Yeah. Panning to the left as you're writing it. Close up, a fade in of the letter.
Yeah. With a really old black and white photograph of me and some buddies.
Right. Candle kind of flickering next to it.
You know, you've seen some documentaries from Ken Burns. That's what you've done. Anyway, so we'll see how it goes. Third state to toke it in, to bring it, to pass the duchy on the left-hand side. I don't know.
One more toke over the line.
I'm sure that there will be. Every time I bring this up, there's always people on both sides going, yeah, man, pro pot. And you're like way too extreme on that side. And some other extreme will be, no, it was defined by God in 1822 that all marijuana would be usher in the end of times or whatever. I get that on both sides every time.
And still only state legal, not federally legal. So
good point.
If you are hoping to get that cushy government job, hoping to get that security clearance, hoping to be president one day. Who knows? I don't know if that has any bearing, but you may want to hold off, even if it's state legal. You gotta worry about the federal legal.
So to everyone, play nice. If you don't have emails and thoughts, it's fine. I'd like to hear your thoughts on Alaska doing this or the overall topic. It's always a fun one to bring up.
Listen, it'd be much nicer to hear what you think about this than reminding us that Sam Kinison died in a car accident and not from a drug overdose.
We heard you. We heard it loud and clear. And our goof, we thought he did. And part of that is because he was notorious for horribly abusing drugs during his time and then died in a car crash. But we forgot about the car crash. It was a small flub. Hey, we should do corrections every day. Why not?
Oh, gosh, yes.
That's today's.
That would be another half an hour.
We don't have the schedule.
We also made the mistake of saying that.
One last thing I would say is somebody's all offended about us suggesting, because this is all we really did. Well, I shouldn't lump you into this because it's mostly me. I suggested it in this big debate over police violence and when a cop should or shouldn't do certain things and whether they're biased in certain situations. All I suggested was perhaps there are different stories and perspectives to take into account. And that's all. That's all I'm suggesting. I'm not saying abuse isn't abuse or that non-abuse isn't non-abuse or good police aren't good police or bad police aren't bad police. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying maybe there's more than one story to everything. And I got emails yesterday saying they are rage quitting the show because we clearly have no idea. It's funny to me that I get called out sometimes as being biased, mm-hmm. by somebody who clearly didn't really listen to what I said and is putting themselves in the hardcore bias position of telling me I'm biased from a biased position. Saying that maybe more discussion or more exploration or more enlightenment could be,
there's a lot of different sides to the story. There's a lot of gray area. Yeah. There's, what the police do, I wouldn't be able to do on my best day, right? I mean, the stuff that they have to go through, the stuff they have to put up with.
Sure.
And now to be constantly under the public eye with people on their smartphones and having to make sure that not only are they doing the right thing, but the things that they're doing can be perceived from an outside perspective on a smartphone as the right thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing you gotta push a perp down to the ground if they're threatening you. And
sorry. I don't know why that's going off. I thought I'd turn that off. There we go. Anyway.
Holding a perp down on the ground to keep them from fighting and keep them from taking a swing at you.
Yeah.
But if you're, one little move, wrong move, or a move that could be perceived as a wrong move can just get exploded on the internet as something.
Point being, it's all about context and it's all about all of that. And it doesn't mean that there aren't abusive situations. All I was saying was maybe there's more to the story than the one position you've decided to latch onto. Perhaps I could learn something. They could learn something. Everybody could learn a little bit more about all of it. That's all I suggested. Okay, now you guys just relax with your typing fingers and your emails. Everything's
people
fine.
Rage quitting right now in chat because of those noises while I was talking.
Oh, that was annoying. That's the phone feature there that runs on the computer there.
Oh, the phone feature.
It's my daughter. I hope everything's all right. Let's make sure everything's okay. Oh, no, that wasn't her. That was someone else. Hey, let's see who this voicemail's from.
Okay.
It's a number I don't recognize from...
Oh, God.
Hohokie, Massachusetts. Let's find out together, shall we? Here we go.
Okay.
Get this on speaker. Oh, damn it. Hold on. Okay. Oh, no.
Hi, my name is Doris Schmidt. I'm calling from the Treat of Jordanelle. I'm actually trying to reach someone named Ben. This is the number I was given about getting me dings and scratches and gouges fixed in my floor. It's been 2 months now. I've been walking around with little pieces of masking tape, and it would be really nice if it got fixed. You can call me back at this number.
Oh, no number. I'm going to give that. Oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Wow, that's definitely not me, lady.
No,
I'll text her
somebody
and let her know
totally
it's not
like,
me.
Yeah, good. Message her and say,
I'll say it's
You may want to keep that masking tape on your floor for 1 week more because Ben ain't here.
Yeah, this is not Ben, nor is this Ben's phone. Thank you for your call. All right. Tell
I
me
have
about the Lego.
And scratches in my floor.
I feel bad for it. Tell me about your Lego helicarrier. I know it arrived. Is it cool?
It arrived. It was a humongous box.
Yeah.
Open it up and 12, you know how you've got the different bags. So like you get your regular Lego set and you've got maybe three bags of Legos and they're numbered 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
This has, 12 sets of bags,
oh,
all numbered 1 through 12.
Wow.
And, some numbers have 2 or 3 bags, right? So it's like, like maybe 30 bags of Lego pieces. The book that walks you through putting this thing together is 441 pages long.
Oh, that's bigger than my car manual, dude.
I know, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So far I've made it through bags numbered 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about an hour per set of bags. So thinking it's going to be 12 hours to put the whole thing together.
That is about what I want to say on Current Geek about what our guest last week predicted was about 12-hour build on that.
Yeah, I believe it. And I have been taking time-lapse video of the construction of it. I think I'm going to start maybe posting the first three the first 3 hours of it. It's and it boils down to about 3 minutes or so of a video, but it looks great because the cat hops up on the table and is sitting there for a while watching me put stuff together. And
can you do this? Can you do this music for it? Put this in the background. dig it, dig it, dig it. And you'll, by the time you get to the little, you know, the minifig part, it'll all be over. Hey, speaking of which, are there, so who's included? Like, I assume all your favorite S.H.I.E.L.D. people are
in there? Yeah, it comes with all your main Avengers, your Hawkeye, your Captain America, your Nick Fury, Black Widow, Iron Man. I'm not sure if it comes with a Thor, but it comes with, so it comes with all those minifigs and a really cool S.H.I.E.L.D. base, like a little Lego base that you put them on that's got the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo behind it, because you can't really use those larger minifigs with the helicarrier because of the scale. Would take up a room.
They're mini minifigs, right?
So you get them, the microfigs, I think is what they call them, or the, yeah, I think they're called microfigs.
Right.
And you get all the same versions of those same characters in microfig form, as well as a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. You got one guy playing Galaga for his little monitor and all that stuff.
Well, so that's awesome. I think that is the coolest thing ever, and I can't wait to see the video.
Super, super cool. So far, I think I've just built kind of like the internal structure with the it's really cool. The thing I built actually has gears in it that when you turn it, it's going to turn all of the
The turbine things?
The turbines, yeah.
Dude.
And one knob turns all of them. So it's like this whole system of gears and pulleys and stuff like that that is really, really cool.
That's so cool. I'm kind of jealous. I want to see this thing when it's all done, or at least your progress videos. So yeah, start posting
you'll
those.
See some progress videos. I think I'll post the first three today on YouTube.
A reminder, we're talking about Nerdtacular, but also if you want to keep track of this Tadpool Cruise thing that's going on, the Tad Cruise they're calling it, you're going to want to go to jfdubow.com/tadcruise.
Correct. Now the cruise itself is 1 year from now. It's Saturday, February 13th, 2016. Starts in Fort Lauderdale, goes to Jamaica, Mexico, Labadee in Haiti. You can go see some Mayan ruins. You can go see, you can go see tequila bars. But deposits actually need to be in by March 1st, or at least an email to the people running this need to be in by March 1st. So, yeah, once again, if you go to jfdubeau.com/tadcruise, then you can get signed up and find out a lot more information about it. I'm going to do a live Coverville TMS kind of hybrid thing. It's not just going to be all music. I'm going to try and do some interactive stuff, trivia or something like that. And then we're also going to do an actual trivia night where we take over a bar and do bar trivia. And I'm going to be helping put that together too.
Fun.
Yes.
That sounds like fun. I hope nobody gets diarrhea while they're there.
Nobody's going to get diarrhea. We still got to figure out a way to get you on there. I know that you're a little nervous about the...
Not nervous. I just don't like it. There's no nervousness about that. Okay. It's all about not liking it. we'll see. I don't know. Who knows? Things could change by then.
But deposit only is like only $80 per person. So you can get that in and then pay the balance in several months when that comes up. And it's actually relatively inexpensive compared to other cruises.
Well, there
Super
you go.
Cool.
All right. Let's get Daryl in here. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Do you like podcasts?
Yes.
Of course you do. Two Friends Fail Podcast is back, kinda. It's like when you're in the middle of a sentence, torches are flashlights. That's... TwoFriendsFail.com with the number 2. New episodes soon, maybe. Nice. Also, thank yous for Eric Mahler and Truly Waffles.
All right. Very nice. Daryl, are you there?
Nothing better than pulling you to a podcast by telling you that maybe there'll be an episode when you get there.
Yeah, might be there.
Might be.
I'll check it out. Daryl, are you there? You're here.
Yes, I am.
Hello. I saw your flag video this morning. It was very enjoyable. I enjoy those. I was on the toilet when I saw that. Daryl, it's Stump a Trek Nerd. You might be familiar with the name. It's something we do every day. You come on, you answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek, and oftentimes we talk about other cool things, and today's no different. Let's start with your question. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Here you go. Oh, we got to act this one out, Brian.
Oh, good. Okay.
My voice is so jacked up, but maybe this will work out for McCoy. So here's the deal. We're doing Spock and McCoy. Brian will play the part of Spock, science officer Spock. I will play Dr. McCoy, the ship's doctor. And we'll play this out, and then you're going to tell us what episode of the original series this scene comes from. All right, Brian, go.
Doctor, you insist on applying human standards to non-human cultures. I remind you that humans are only a tiny minority in this galaxy.
There are certain absolutes, Mr. Spock, and one of them is the right of humanoids to free and unchained environments. That, the right to have conditions which permit growth.
Another is their right to choose a system which seems to work for them.
F off, you green-blooded bastard!
That part wasn't in there. I added that part. Daryl, that's our reading. Now you have to think about it. Here are your options, by the way. Friday's Child, Let That Be Your Last Battlefield. That's what everyone said after Travolta did that movie. Remember that? Battlefield Earth. They said, let that be your last battlefield.
And then he rubbed the faces of Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, of course. And he's still weirded out by it. Then The Apple or This Side of Paradise. So Friday's Child, Let That Be Your Last Battlefield. The Apple or This Side of Paradise are your potential options.
Congratulations! Wow.
Shush.
You're a winner.
Sorry,
you don't even need to give an answer.
Okay, goodbye.
I wasn't supposed to play. All right, but this was...
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Daryl, you and I still have things that Brian doesn't. Or Brian, did you see anything in the P.O. box?
Oh, no. You know, I forgot to go.
Oh,
dang it. I had to wait for FedEx to arrive with the helicarrier, and then it did, and I never went to the P.O. box, but I will today. However, while you guys eat something from there, I'm going to eat something that did come out of another submitted box that for some reason we missed, which is butterscotch squares with cashew from Argy's.
That sounds all right compared to mystery thing called On 365. Daryl, do you see that? It looks like pastry bacon.
Pastry bacon.
Yeah, like bacon, like pastry that has bacon shape and stripes in it.
Which thing is this in?
This is the Japanese Kit Kat one or some other one? Kit Kat one. It's the only one we have left.
Bacon pastry.
It looks, and you'll see it's like a clear package with two white ends on it. It's about the size of a card, and then it says On 365 on the bottom and top.
Okay, yeah, and I have a whole bunch of those with different stuff in them.
Yeah, these are the ones we're going to start with. There's a bunch of others, too.
There's a whole bunch of flavors you can get of those.
Oh, they all say On 365.
Yeah, they do. Okay. But, yeah, I have the bacon one.
On the back, he wrote letters with a Sharpie. One says P, so it's P you want.
Okay, I have that. I have P.
You have P? All right. Daryl's got some P. Hold on, do we have a list of what's in here? No. No, we do not. Okay, that's all right. All right, open that up.
You should get a cough button.
I should, shouldn't I? Hold on. There it is. Found it. Okay, I'm throwing the bag away. I don't know what this smells like. Let's smell it. Oh, it smells like Japanese.
This is a... My delicacy here is like a shortbread Borg cube.
Borg cube?
Yes, if you can look at my...
That's awesome.
Like, it is a shortbread cube.
Yeah, like the Borg.
Right.
Or it looks like a giant crouton, is what it looks like.
It does, yes.
All right, Daryl, let's try it. I don't know. I guess you just eat it.
It kind of smells like it might be ultra spicy and burn my guts out, but let's see. Oh, that's plasticky.
Actually, I don't mind this.
No, mine's good, too.
I don't mind this. I'm surprised how much I don't mind that.
I am unsure.
No, at first it is very unsure. Like there's an unsurety at the beginning.
There's this weird, almost bread-like coating.
Mm-hmm.
And then the middle is sort of plasticky.
I just don't know what it is. I don't mind it, though. That wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've had worse things. I'll tell you that much.
It's kind of tastes like it's going to be spicy, really hot, but then it really doesn't.
Then it doesn't. It runs up to you and says, and then runs away.
Yeah, it's a flasher with a coat, and he never opens it.
Gross.
Nice. I'm going to assimilate the rest of mine later today.
Yeah, good idea. Because that's a big cube, dude. You can't just eat that in all one bite.
That's not all in one bite, no.
All right, Daryl, back to life, back to reality. Here we are.
Still pondering this bacon thing. I think it's going in the garbage. Daryl, vote no on that.
Daryl has really. I sort of central on it. I'm not really loving it, but I don't hate it. Daryl is. We're changing things up a little bit. We're going to start doing not just birthdays when they're significant. We'll have those, but we're also going to talk about sort of big moments or this day in Trek kind of things.
Right.
And I love that idea.
Stay in Trekstery.
Yeah. So give us one. What do you got there? Here, wait, Shatner says.
Hey.
All right, go.
Perfect.
Okay. This day in 1992, way back then, was the seventh and final day of filming of the TNG episode The Perfect Mate. And also on the set, it was Surfer Pants Day.
What?
Really?
What does that even mean?
So everybody wore surfer pants, like casual yes. Friday kind of thing?
Yeah.
But wait, how did they wear, what are surfer pants?
Like long, sort of long swim trunky looking pants.
Oh, not like the tight ones they wear?
Bright colored, bright colored Hawaiian shirt looking pants.
But not like the neoprene like.
No.
Okay.
Not I like don't that. Think so anyway. I mean,
no, I wouldn't think so.
There's some. It's
yeah, we don't need that kind of.
It's also called Camel Toe Day. It turns out.
Exactly. Loose knuckle and Camel Toe Day.
Yep. Celebrate. My body is showing everything now. All right, Daryl. That's great. That's a cool thing to celebrate. Surfer Pants Day. We should do a TMS with Surfer Pants Day, shouldn't we? Let's do it next week. Next Monday, Surfer okay. Pants Day. I don't have any, but. I'll work something out. All right, Daryl. Let's get to your question here. You think that this is, and by the way, this is a, well, I don't want to give any hints. Never mind. I'll let you answer it first. It's Friday's Child. Let that be your last battlefield. Let that be your last battlefield. The Apple or This Side of Paradise. What say you?
Well, let's see. When you were first acting out, my first thought was how horrible you were doing. But my second thought was... that this was from the Apple.
Oh, that was your second thought?
Yeah. And then you gave the choices and it was in there. So
I have second thoughts all the time. Well, I have second thoughts all the time. Let's find out if you're right. Is it the Apple? Is that what you want to do? Is that what you say?
Okay.
All right.
Congratulations.
Oh, it is.
You're a winner.
TOS, man, it's like a tattoo on you. You know right where everything is. The crew discovers a planet that is inhabited by a tribal people who worship a machine. This is probably where they got the idea for Femputer on Futurama, one of the finest episodes of Futurama. And that was, who was the Femputer? It was played by one of the Golden Girls. It was Bea Arthur.
Oh, really? It was Femputer?
Do not talk to Femputer. She was fantastic.
I do remember that.
She was really good in that role. All right, Daryl, good job, and way to go. I have no idea what your record is now. We've given up on that. So you won today. That's all that really matters. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com. He's on Vine doing flag songs every morning, and he's on something called the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, play a game with us.
Which is called... rejected Star Trek series or 1959 Western starring William Shatner.
I cannot believe you're still doing this one. This is amazing. You know what Terpster would say?
You dick.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do it anyway. Go for it. What do you got?
Nero Wolf?
N-E-R-O? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Nero Wolf. I remember, what was Nero Wolf?
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah. That's either a character or somebody from history. Nero Wolf.
Yeah, there's something familiar. Something British. Yeah, isn't there a British thing about that? Maybe I'm thinking of someone like Perot or something. Like an old British series.
Like a, right. Like Poirot. Not Ross Perot.
How do you say that guy anyway? That gay.
I don't know.
I just outed him. I just called him gay.
Poirot.
All right. I have no idea. I'm going to say Star Trek because I don't think it sounds Western to me.
Yeah, but a spinoff? Like a Star Trek spinoff about Nero Wolf? Star Trek, Nero Wolf.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
Crap. Let's say 1959 Western in case it was somebody famous.
All right. And the Shatner must be in a lot of these, but yes, we say that. We say Western.
This rejected CBS series aborted in 1959, and it was a William Shatner Western.
Oh, yay! We did it then. Aborted series. It must have been a series then, or it was planned as one, but it was a Western series.
No, it was a Western.
Because he says 1959 Western, that can mean TV. See, that's where he tried to throw us off.
Right.
Not
but it
just
certainly
movies.
Wasn't a Star Trek spinoff.
Nope.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
All right, let's get to the news, and it's brought to you by...
a British dude you don't know, playing songs from the TV show you do. Visit poddle.fm/LTD for a weekly podcast dedicated to the noises that emanate or emerate from your TV.
Oh, I like that.
Wouldn't it be emanate?
Emanate, I think. Emirate is not it.
No, that's like a position you hold, the emirate.
The United Arab Emirates. Emirate?
Emirate?
Yeah, yeah.
Emirates, it's an airline.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right. They have good first class. Let's see. Have you seen the official Age of Ultron poster?
Yes.
It's kind of crowded. Got a lot of dudes in there. Some spoilers even, maybe.
Lots of people. Lots of little mini Ultrons, like Ultronites.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your Captain America mm-hmm. and your
Very prominent, Iron by Man. The way. A little more prominent than Iron Man, I'd say, which is interesting. You know what else is funny is, maybe I'm just being a dummy here, but the proportionality is all wrong.
It does look weird, right? Like they're...
Like Tony looks goofy.
Yeah. I mean, so he looks like he's right next to Captain America, but he looks a lot smaller. Like his...
Like a little kid holding on to him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why that is, but it's a cool poster.
It's
cool.
Makes
me want to see the movie.
Yeah, I want to see the movie. But like what's her name is supposed to be right behind him and then in front of the Hulk. But
right.
The Hulk's too big
for... Oh, Black Widow. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. It's too big. It's not right. And then his arrow, like even like Hawkeye's bow is up in front of Hulk's arm. But if that was a real shot, it should be behind his arm. I know it's not supposed to be a real shot. I understand the collage nature of this.
Collage thing, but still, when you're going to position all these people like they are all fighting together, you got to make sure that the lighting is all the same. Like Nick Fury's lighting is completely different from everybody else's.
Yeah, it's weird.
Even Black Widow's lighting is different from Hawkeye, who she's right in front of.
Yeah. I also think that Tony should be in his helmet. I don't think he should be all raw out there with his face out.
Right.
I don't know why that bothers me, but it does.
I think, and we're sure this is the official one. This isn't like a Photoshop mock-up somebody did.
This is a real deal. This is Marvel's official poster.
Well,
you got your,
it doesn't make me want to see the movie any less.
No. It's got the Vision back there flying.
Yeah.
See that up there above Hulk? Now,
I do, yes. So kind of.
In a way, that looks tiny and like just barely floating over the Hulk's head, but anyway.
Well, he's really far back.
It's just bad. Not bad. I don't want to say it's bad. It's fine for what it needs to do, which is, hey, here are the Avengers. We're super stoked. Right. But if you want to get real nitpicky about it, like a certain college art teacher of mine would have, he would have torn this apart. Mm-hmm. He would have said it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited. Whatever. That movie's going to be rad. We're not very far off, isn't it? May?
May 1st.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh,
we're.
Dude. Wow.
Just a couple months away.
March, April, May. We're there. We're in.
Uh-huh.
Hurry up and build your helicarrier. About then you'll be done.
I need to be done with this thing before D&D Friday night because I'm using the table that the kids use for D&D.
Yeah.
So
here's one.
At least I can have enough of it done where I can move it.
Sure. By the way, what is this? Oh. This is interesting. If you take a look at the credits at the bottom of the poster, you see four names returning from various Marvel movies. Anthony mm-hmm. Mackie, Sam Wilson, the Falcon. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba, Heimdall. Heimdall. When was he in something?
He was in Thor. He's the golden protector of the Rainbow Bridge.
Keep forgetting that's him in that helmet.
Yeah.
I love Idris Elba. He's
so
awesome.
My guess is that, you know, if we see him and we're not seeing any of the Warriors 3 or Sif, then basically he's just going to be there to let Thor go fight by the other Avengers side.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be like a need to get to Earth.
Yep.
Need to get to Midgard.
Yep. Haley Atwell is coming back as Peggy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
That'll be a flashback because she's...
That's great though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Way
been loving Agent
it.
Carter. The finale was last night and there was a nice little stinger at the end of that too.
Hmm. I need to watch that show.
Yes.
Ghostbusters reboot was inspired by The Walking Dead, or so says somebody involved in the project.
Which I don't understand.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Paul Feig's upcoming Ghostbusters reboot is definitely going to be scarier than the original. During an interview on AMC's Talking Dead on Sunday, the Bridesmaids director, you know, it was his idea to have poop in a sink.
Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah, I think that was his idea.
It was his idea specifically.
Yeah. It lands at his feet. He admitted that he felt very inspired by The Walking Dead and is looking to bring a similar sense of constant dread to the comedy. Well, that seems like a weird idea to me, but whatever.
Well, especially when you've got, you know, Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy and Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones, and he's saying it's going to be more dramatic and darker.
Yeah. I mean, the first movies, they always had a tinge of darkness to them.
Sure. Sure.
So I think maybe that's all he's saying, but I don't know why The Walking Dead would be. Well, he's on The Talking Dead, and so if you're going to be talking about something, maybe he just made this comparison because, you know, you got a mic in your face. I don't know. So yeah. That's something to watch for.
He was great. He's a very animated speaker, that guy.
Paul Feig? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting guy. What else has he done, though? He's done other things that we care about besides Bridesmaids. Let's see. Paul Feig. He's such a nerd-looking guy.
He is.
The Heat. Oh, he did The Heat.
Okay.
Did he? No, wait. Director?
Freaks and Geeks.
I like The Heat, even though I was kind of McCarthy'd out. I thought The Heat was good. The Office, Nurse Jackie.
Was he producer or director of Freaks and Geeks? What was his business with Freaks and Geeks?
Directed one episode, Discos and Dragoons.
Okay.
And Dragons, rather.
And seven episodes of Arrested Development.
Yeah, a lot of TV stuff.
Mad Men, 30 Rock. Wow, a lot of like stepping in and directing an episode of a show.
Yeah, three of Weeds, one of Parks and Rec.
Here's Jackie, The Office.
Now it's all movies. So he's got three movies in post and pre-production. He's got Spy, Ghostbusters, and Wishlist, which I know nothing about. Oh,
funny. A lot of acting credits. As a matter of fact, in Nurse Jackie, played a guy named Mr. Spagnolo.
What? No way. That's cool.
Yeah.
What if they called him Mr. Spag? Mr. Spag.
Nurse Whisper.
Oh, yeah. He's in a ton of things.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to 3 o'clock High. Hold on a minute.
Oh, I love that movie.
That movie is really awesome. One of the great teen, underrated teen movies of the 80s. And was filmed in freaking Ogden, Utah, which was a huge deal for everybody here. Because everybody was I remember at the time, everybody in high school was trying to get to be on the extras list so they could be in this movie.
Huh.
All kinds of like local stuff if you watch that film. But anyway, yeah, he goes way back. That's great. Well, good job, Paul Feig. May you ever reign as king of the whatever. Squarespace.com is sponsoring today's program. If at squarespace.com you want to build a website. I know you do. I mean, there are people that need stuff. You need a website. Even if you're starting a podcast or you've got other ideas for other things, you want to do video stuff, you still need a home base. You need a place where people can go to find out where you are and what's up. Squarespace.com is that place. Go there. Use their seventh iteration of tools. They're always getting better and more in-depth. Try it out. Give it a free trial. You don't have to do anything, not even put a credit card in. Just give it a try. If you like it, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off your account. That's at squarespace.com. And the checkout code, MORNING. All right, Brian, there is a new Pee-wee movie coming. We talked about it briefly yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's Judd Apatow's producing. That's all happening. But more importantly, according to Jenny Josephson, friend of the program, producer on DTNS, helped me out with some story stuff. She says this, DuckTales is coming back to TV on Disney XD in 2017.
What?
Now, Jenny, I would just say to you and all you 90s kids... DuckTales was okay.
Yeah, I actually never saw an episode of DuckTales because
it was all right.
That was after I was of the age that I would have enjoyed it.
I still enjoyed cartoons on Saturday mornings then, but I thought they were starting to take a dip. And I thought DuckTales and Animaniacs were never as good as everybody thinks they are. Mm. Now, I aged out of it. I wasn't, like you just said, I wasn't like 8 or 9 when that would have really hit me, right?
Right.
But I was raised on like old Looney Tunes reruns and Tom and Jerry at their peak and all that stuff. And that stuff was awesome. But I also saw a lot of He-Man and freaking Super Friends. And even then I knew that stuff was campy and fun, but garbage. It was not good. We knew that then. And I feel like more people should admit that DuckTales and Animaniacs aren't that good. They're okay. Okay. They're all right.
Oh, boy. Here come the emails.
Yeah, forget about police brutality and pot legalization. It's going to be all about DuckTales.
How dare you?
I can't believe it. A Nutella jar is in the news. When's the last time
you
heard
that? What's a Nutella jar, and how do you get a new one?
Well, a Nutella jar is a jar full of gooey goodness.
Yes.
And has sparked a massive fire, destroying a family's home in West London.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, Nutella's huge over there. They like their spreadable chocolate.
Sure. Yeah. Great in crepes.
Sure. Oh, it is, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Kim made something here with it that was really weird one time. What was it? It was so good. Oh, I can't remember. She may have filled... Oh, I know what it... I think they were like mini cupcakes, and they all had a middle that was soft and gooey that was Nutella in the middle.
Mm.
They were so good. Yeah, Nutella's crazy good. Crazy bad for you, but really good. Anyway, an empty Nutella jar magnifying solar rays... This is great. Sparked a massive fire that destroyed a London family's home and killed their dog. Oh!
I know.
It was sitting in the window, and it caught the sun, and then...
Right, but if it destroyed the house, how do they know that? How do they know it's the Nutella jar?
Well, according to the electrical supervisor, the fire dude, that was the cause of the thing.
Okay.
I mean, who All knows? Right. I feel like if the house is destroyed enough, it seems like a weird thing to blame the jar of Nutella.
It does seem weird, but I mean, I guess, you know, the sun hits it just right. You get your Robert De Niro in there, and he kind of analyzes things. He scrapes a little bit of the creosote off the floor and then licks it and mm-hmm. says, hey, it looks like it was a Nutella jar.
That's kind of what this sounds like. Anyway, Chili's death, that's the name of the dog. They're super sad about that. They can't move back into the house for another year. It was a 9-year-old Jack Russell. Oh, those are awesome dogs. Murphy, age 41, electrical supervisor, was out celebrating his anniversary with his wife, 7 and 3-year-old kids on February 15th when the blaze erupted in the Twickenham home. Twickenham, sorry.
Twickenham.
That's freaking Harry Potter stuff right there.
A fire broke out in Twickenham with a Nutella jar, which caused a fire in Twickenham.
Oh, correct. Another correction. Today's day of corrections. That was from an episode of Louie, apparently, and not real.
Oh, no. Really? So that wasn't a real thing?
No. I felt like an idiot. Everybody yesterday was like, oh, if nobody's told you yet, that's from a Louie episode, and they linked it. Okay. I'm like, gosh,
that one I hadn't seen any corrections on that.
Yeah. I got hammered with those yesterday.
Oh.
So be careful. Don't leave your jar on the window. That's the bottom line there.
Yeah.
A tweaked audio, their bottom line is good earbuds for the quality lifestyle you have come to enjoy and expect in your life. Go to tweakedaudio.com and find a pair of earbuds today engineered for you, your noise reduction needs, your durability needs, and your lifetime warranty. It's all about you, man. That's what they're about, is you. Tweakedaudio.com is the place. 33% off the code stream. You know the drill. Go there. Tweakedaudio.com with the code stream. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Recommendals with Nicole. It's Tom's Tech Time with Tom. And we have some emails. And my voice cracked there. Before all that, Brian plays music. Go.
Sure. How about a song going out to Corey, a.k.a. Marvin Skeleton, in the chat room? Hey, guys, I've made requests in the past for my wife and children, but I don't think I've been selfish and requested a song for myself. Let's change that. On Tuesday, February 24th, which was yesterday, I will turn the great age of 34. I've set goals to make this one of the best years ever, as two of my heroes, Nolan Ryan and Walter Payton, both wore number 34, and I'm well on my way to achieving those goals. Last year, you played We the Ghosts, cover of Straight Up, originally by Paul Abdul, as a request for my wife's birthday, and even came in at number 5 on the year-end cover of a countdown. They've just recorded and released a new cover that we love, and it would be great if you could play it on or around my birthday. It's a cover of Come Pick Me Up, originally by Ryan Adams, with their spin on it. Affection for the program, nonetheless. Corey, a.k.a. Marvin Skeleton.
All right.
So if you go to wetheghostmusic.com, you can actually download a copy of this. The version you download is actually going to be it will carry the explicit tag. There will be F-bombs in there. And so just be aware of that. This is the clean version by We the Ghost. It is Come Pick Me Up, originally by Ryan Adams.
Pick me up. take me out, mess me up, steal my records, screw all my faith. I'll hide my bed with a smile on your face and then do it again. I wish you were.
Peanut butter. Mm.
Take your pick.
Twix cookie bars, the chocolate candy with a cookie crunch. Twix caramel, rich milk chocolate over creamy caramel. Twix peanut butter, rich milk chocolate over creamy peanut butter. And both have that Twix cookie crunch.
You like it?
I love it.
Twix caramel and Twix peanut butter, the chocolate candy with a cookie crunch.
We just want the money!
The Morning Stream. That's my safety word.
And we're back. Welcome back. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
All right. Let's do this thing. Let's do this thing that we do.
All right. Okay.
Let's get other people involved. Let's bring them all in.
I'm hoping we get her involved somehow.
Yeah.
We can figure out some way to get her
involved. That's what I'm saying. I support what you're saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I think it's a grand idea, regardless of what anyone else thinks. I'm trying to find a clip here. Ah, there it is. All right, here we go. It is Recommendals. That means time for Nicole Spag to come on the show and talk about streaming stuff that we have seen. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, friends.
Oh,
hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
I feel like we haven't talked forever, but it's really only been a week, I guess.
It's only been a week. Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. We should make that happen more often.
Well, you know, the final score isn't anymore, so that was really our other time to talk.
That was our big time to talk. You know, I was thinking of you because I bought on Steam for $4.99 is all, a game called Life is Strange. And it has got you written all over that freaking thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an adventure game, kind of sort of like the Telltale games.
Yeah.
But different. It's hard to explain.
Oh,
I'll check it out. Weird and ethereal. And it's freaking $5 for the first episode. It's a total steal.
Cool.
So you should check that out.
I'll check it out. Yeah,
that's
playing WoW all day.
No, well, that's good, too. Nothing wrong with that. Been playing a lot of that myself, so I understand completely. It is Nicole Spag, and she is here for Wednesday, and it is time for Recommendals, and I'm totally stoked because today is a free-for-all. We're just kind of going for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I specifically have an actor in mind for my theme. I do have three recommendations. I'll try to keep them short because I know both of you have something to recommend, too. But over the past few years, I've recommended a number of movies by this actor, and I didn't realize he was a thread between them all. And I just started watching a show on HBO called Togetherness. And it is really, it's weird. Like, at first you're like, I don't know if I like this, but then something funny will happen. It has Amanda Peet in it. It has the guy that is going to be my theme, Mark Duplass.
Okay,
so that show is a slice of life. Mark Duplass is married. He has kids. He has a really funny best friend who's trying to be an actor in Hollywood, but he's bald and he's fat. And then his sister-in-law, who is Amanda Peet, ends up moving in with them. And, you know, it's just kind of slice of life, crazy Hollywood stuff. And I really enjoy the show more. And I don't think a lot of people know the show's out there because, I don't know, it's not gotten a lot of marketing.
Yeah, like, I wasn't familiar with it at all.
So if you have HBO Go, check out Togetherness. There's some really funny, I think because of my point in life with, you know, kids and everything, I connect to on a lot of these, like, struggles that they're having. Maybe not the woman, not the wives. You'll understand when you watch the show. I'm not saying I'm into that, but
now I've got to check this out.
but I like what he does, and it turns out Mark Duplass has a brother named Jay, and they work together all the time. They're writers, they're producers, and they have done a ton of stuff, including movies I've recommended in the past called Safety Not Guaranteed. And Jeff Who Lives at Home.
Love both of those.
Both of those are not streaming anymore, but they used to be. So I have for you two new ones that are streaming on Netflix. Unfortunately, they are not on Amazon. The one that I want to stress, like, Brian, you have to, if you can, watch it tonight, because I think both of you will love this. It's called The One I Love. And this is a romantic comedy, a sci-fi romantic comedy.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes. So it starts out.
My favorite four words to put together. three words.
It's the kind of movie that I can't stop thinking about it. And I also had to go online to, like, get other people's thoughts on it. Cause I'm like, wait, what happened there? I don't really understand. So the couple who's Ethan and Sophie, they're going through therapy. That's clear something happened in their relationship that they're trying to fix. Ted Danson is their therapist.
Nice.
And he recommends that they go to this retreat, like this little house in the country. And he said it helps all of his clients, and they found a renewed sense of their love.
Renewed. I thought you said nude.
Renewed sense of their love. There is a pool.
Great.
But I really recommend it. I don't want to give too much. Like, I want to tell you enough to encourage you to watch this movie, but I don't want to tell you a lot of it because it just gets weird and awesome and strange.
Because, yeah, the IMDb page also is good and vague. Doesn't mention anything about any sort of sci-fi angle, which is really cool. I mean, I like that that's kind of a surprise in this. So
yeah,
that's cool. And it's Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men.
Mad Men. So I honestly, this is the movie that made me Mark Duplass is my new favorite actor right now.
Oh, wow.
I love him. I have a crush on him now.
He's got a very everyman kind of quality to him.
Yeah.
Like a Paul Rudd or a Mark Ruffalo kind of feel.
And he's done so much.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I was looking. Cyrus is another one of his movies. There's a ton that I just want to watch now. The second one I had a chance to watch was Your Sister's Sister.
Mm. Okay.
And are you both familiar with Tara, the United States of Tara, TV show?
Familiar with Toni Collette. I mean, familiar enough to know what it's about.
I saw a couple. I've seen a few of them.
Crazy sister.
Oh, that plays in that show. Yeah.
Is Emily Blunt's sort of crazy sister in this movie?
I prefer
Blunt. Marie DeWitt.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And again, don't want to tell too much of it because it's best to go into these movies a little cold. I find that all of his movies, if you don't really know a lot about them, I feel that's the best way to go into them, not knowing too much.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I was still looking up Rosemary DeWitt. I now remember her. She does play the goofy friend a lot.
That's she does.
One of her jobs. Yeah.
In United States of Terror, she was in a relationship with Remy from
Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Dude, that guy is getting some work, man. He is in everything right now.
Mm-hmm. He is. But Your Sister's another one of those. It's a complex relationship type of movie, and he's not with either one of the sisters. He's friends with them, and his brother had died, and like he's really messed up, and you know he's trying to figure out his stuff. And that's all I'll tell you about that movie. Okay. But I enjoyed it.
Okay.
So both of those movies, good watches on Netflix, and Togetherness on HBO Go. A really good series. It's still running right now, so not all the episodes are out.
I like these actors who can jump from just doing actor work on other people's projects to doing their own big deals. That kind of stuff is great. Kind of Joseph Gordon-Levitt style, you know, always has something going on, something in the hopper, creative projects that are personal to them as well as mainstream, you know, bigger things or whatever. I think that's cool. So,
Brian, did you recommend the puffy chair?
No.
The puffy chair.
That's another one that I've been meaning to watch that he's involved with.
I've never even heard of the puffy chair.
Yeah, that's...
I don't want to wear the puffy chair.
I want a puffy chair. Sounds comfortable.
But it's funny, too, because this actor, so Mark Duplass, is credited. He's one of the, I guess, people that have been credited for this new way of filming called mumblecore. Have you heard this?
No.
I swear to God, I thought I was like, what the hell is mumblecore?
Oh God, it sounds like something that's going to make me want to turn on the subtitles.
It is a subgenre of independent film. It's meant to be low budget, a lot of improv. There's a Wikipedia entry for mumblecore and all the films listed. So the puffy chair is one of them. A movie I recommended, the girl that produces Girls, Tiny Furniture. I can't remember her name now.
Oh crap! We talked about her before.
Yeah.
On this show, I don't remember.
Not the main actress. Though.
Yeah. Lena Dunham.
Oh, her. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's
the girls' lady.
Yeah. She made a mumblecore film with Tiny Furniture, and I had no idea this was a thing. So I thought that was an interesting aspect of movie making that has evolved.
Very interesting.
Well, these 20 something hipsters, man. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's kind of what they say. Mm-hmm. You know,
millennials.
I'm looking through the list of movies that are referred to as mumblecore, and I don't think I've seen any of these. No, well, just looking through here.
They reference Before Sunrise as one of kind of the earlier films that they've used techniques from that film. So I think the Woody Allen movie Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
kind of taken some of those aspects of it. So there's like different aspects of older movies that they've kind of used to make this new genre of movies. So, and there's even mumble gore.
Right. I'm guessing it's this, but horror movies.
Yeah, both. Yeah. So that's like fun. That VHS movie.
Was that VHS next movie considered mumble gore?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. I've seen that.
Mumble gore.
That just seemed like a found footage Blair Witch project.
My favorite part of Hogwarts Academy was mumble gore.
Yeah, mumble gore. Oh, I always wanted the hat to send me there, but it didn't.
Such an enlightening recommendal.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Well, let's jump over to what we're doing here. I'll start with what I've been watching. It's an easy one, and it might seem a little mainstream to some, but I do it to celebrate its existence and to lament its passing after the end of this season. But here's a clip from what I've been listening to.
You ever hear the saying, you run into an asshole in the morning, you ran into an asshole, you run into assholes all day, you're the asshole.
Some damn fine advice, Raylan Givens.
The best line ever.
That show is full of lines like that. Some of the best dialogue on TV, some of the best actors working in TV showing up on that thing. We are perilously close to the end of that season, or of this season and its entire series. And I'm sad about that because I don't really want to be in a world where Raylan Givens isn't giving justice on a regular. Right. So I'm sad to see it go, but Justified is incredible. If you have Amazon streaming, the entire thing up to last season is there and streaming on Prime. And the new season is in the middle of happening, and I've not seen any of the new stuff, so I don't want anyone to tell me yet.
I was going to ask because we've started the new season.
I haven't yet. I'm still catching up last season.
I kind of not digging it.
Really? Oh, everyone I've talked to is loving it this season.
I totally love it. Yeah, I mean, Choo Choo and Garrett Dillahunt and Wynn Duffy in a tanning bed.
Everybody always says this every season about that show. It's not everybody, but somebody always
had that issue with last season. She gave up watching it, and I powered through, and about the middle of last season, it got so good. It's like, I'm so glad I stuck with it.
I never not like it, but I always hear people say that, like, I'm not sure about this season, and then at the end, they're like, it was so good. I can't believe it. I thought it wasn't good.
Yeah, and I think too, I have converted how I watch shows. Like, with that show especially, I want to watch like one or two at a time. Mm-hmm. I don't like waiting.
Yeah, waiting for that. That's why we're kind of doing last season at this sort of pace, and then we'll have a bunch to catch up on the new one, and then we'll catch the last three, you know, the day after they air or something. But I'm with you. That's the kind of show I do. It's a fun binger for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. And we watched two last night, and it's just, I love that show so much, and it just scratches all my itches. It's basically a Western with phones and cars, and everybody's brilliant in it, and I'm going to miss it terribly. So I've been watching a lot of that. And one final recommendation, if I didn't make a big enough deal about it yesterday, people need to watch The Man in the High Castle. It's freaking amazing.
The Man in the High Castle.
It's an Amazon pilot.
It picked up for a full season, that Mad Dogs, so it's going to be a real show, thank goodness, but just the first episode/pilot's up there, and even if you don't have Prime, you can watch it. It's for everybody, but...
Because they want to hook you.
Yeah, they want you in, and plus, they're trying to decide what gets picked up and what doesn't. It's freaking fantastic. I cannot wait for that series.
So impressed with Amazon and the quality of shows they are putting out.
Yeah, they're kicking it up, man. They want to compete, and I'm happy with it. I'm glad to have both these two. You know, I consider them the real competition here is Netflix and Amazon, and both of them are killing it, and I love that. So keep it up, because as a cord cutter, you know they're kind of heavenly things. and Brian, what'd you do? What do you got?
So my film is from 2012. It is streaming on Netflix. Go ahead and play that clip.
All right, here you go.
All right, gentlemen. I need that table cleared, placed in front of Whip with a chair behind it.
Is that big?
Now, please.
Nope.
I need a glass of water. I need a credit card. I need a $100 bill.
I got a 20.
She'll do. All right, Whip, banana boats are coming. All right. And I need a Cocoa Puff.
A what?
Just take the tiniest little bit of tobacco out of the top of the cigarette, please. Damn, amateur night.
That is John Goodman, who's really a way secondary, tertiary role in the movie Flight with Denzel Washington. So Flight is about this pilot.
With
Whitaker, who does this just amazing thing to save a flight that he's on, like a flight that he's piloting, where basically, well, I won't spoil what he does, but
he's drunk though, right?
He's drunk. Well, it comes out after he does this big heroic thing of saving the plane, they start kind of looking closer at his life and realizing, oh, this guy's got a little bit of a substance abuse problem. He's actually, hitting the bottle in the airport bars before he gets on the plane and has a little bit of an abuse problem. So that scene right there is John Goodman's way of kind of freshening him up in time for a hearing that he's got to go to, where he's got to actually be upright and be attention, pay attention and stuff. Really, really good film. Of course, nominated for a couple Oscars a couple years ago. Denzel was nominated for Best Actor, and it was also nominated for Best Original Screenplay. Didn't get either of them, but it was a really, really good movie, and it's streaming. So go enjoy it. Go watch it.
Have you seen this one, Scott? I haven't had a chance to see it.
Nope, it's been forever on my list. I love the director, and I love Washington. I love everything they ever do together, and I want to see this movie, and I just haven't done it.
Robert Zemeckis is the director on this. And
It's his first live action, right? Well, not ever.
After Castaway and What Lies Beneath, yeah.
And before that, his the train one, the Christmas one. So he had done...
Polar Express.
Yeah. Right. So he went all animated for a while, and then came back and made a movie again. I think it went Castaway, and then it went animation all day, all the time.
Right.
And then this.
And then Flight.
Because he did Beowulf and, all that.
Oh, I forgot about Beowulf, yeah.
Yeah, right. There was a real run there. So that's something I've been meaning to see. I'll totally see it. And it's been sitting there on Netflix just looking at me. So
you didn't say if you're going to watch The One I Love, Scott.
The One I Love or are you talking about Black
Mirror? The
movie. Mirror? Oh.
That was my recommendation. While you're doing something else.
No, I thought you meant Black Mirror because you really love Black Mirror. And I think that's what I was thinking of.
But I think you would enjoy watching The One I Love with Kim. I really wish I had watched that movie with Mark.
Mm. Well, I will. Our decisions as to what to watch usually do hinge on are we both going to be there or not. And
right.
That is a big thing.
So we'll watch that.
And we are two-thirds of the way through Black Mirror. Six episodes. We've done four of them, so...
Did you watch White Bear?
I don't know if we've gotten White Bear yet.
You would know. You would know.
Okay. Yeah. No. Not White Bear. We had the woman whose fiance dies or fiance boyfriend or.
And they bring him back to life or sort of.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
No, I'm not saying anything. You can read it in the credits. It says it right there.
Plus, Vince Gilligan would remind you that thing came out in 2011 in the UK.
True.
So
it's more than 2 weeks old.
Yeah,
yes,
we're fine. Cool. Well, those are all good recommendations. As always, the Recommendals Twitter account will repost a lot of this stuff, and you can see a lot of that there. What's our theme next week? What are we doing?
Our theme next week, it looks like live action movies based on cartoons.
Ooh.
By Iceworm.
Ooh, I like that.
Live action movies based on cartoons. Okay. All right.
Okay, cool. I was going to give an example, but I won't in case one of us uses it. So
exactly.
We'll
like
do that.
That one. Oh, you just ruined
that. Sounds like fun. I like that. You can find Nicole at Nicole Spag on Twitter. She's always got a billion cool things happening. Woodwhisperer.com is also a great place to go with her and her husband, Mark, who's just a shaggy, handsome Italian man.
Shaggy? That's not a hint at which thing you're going to choose, is it?
No. Although, nice job. Nicole, thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye
now. All right. Good deal. Good deal, everybody. Good deal. Let's call Tom. A little technology in our lives.
Yes, please.
I feel like I could use a little, just a tiny bit. And
little
here's
Tom, little Tom in our lives.
Little Tom in our lives.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Brian and Scott.
Hello.
That man right there.
That man.
Hey, have you noticed this trend on Twitter lately?
What's that?
Amongst the frog pimp, amongst the tadpool, I think.
Okay, all right.
People saying, if I could have the beautiful good looks of Brian Ibbett and the smashing personality of Scott Johnson, you know, like picking traits from different people mm-hmm. and putting them together.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
Are you worried, Scott, about that? You think, what does that
I'm
mean?
I'm worried because a couple of times people have said credibility in relation to my name, which means I actually have to start meaning what I said.
Start being credible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, so, you know, they
I'd
put
start
these.
I'm worrying if they start taking swabs at Nertacular. Like, can I put this Q-tip on the inside of your cheek? Would you mind that?
Just real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
It's not a problem. Just a little DNA. Right. Yeah, they want to be the things that they think we're good at.
Extraordinarily flattering.
Yeah.
In the most frightening way.
Well, you're credible as hell, dude. I would put you in the category of credible.
Stop. I would. No, I'm just going to start lying on purpose now.
All right. Today, start with like, today.
Net neutrality won't pass. I don't know.
Apple bought Google. A great idea.
And part of the reason that was at the top of my mind is I was thinking maybe we'd do a little preview of the fact that the FCC will, if all goes to plan, vote on open internet rules tomorrow. Everyone expects it to be a 3-2 vote with, you know, the three Democrats voting for the plan and the two Republicans voting against the plan. Yeah. And then I realized, well, I haven't really dug into what happens next because we've been hearing a lot about, especially Ajit Pai, saying we should delay the vote for 30 days and make the rules public, which is not unprecedented, although it is rare that the FCC does that. And I can explain why they do that, because I think a lot of people are confused, like, why won't the FCC make the rules public? But I think this battle is not over. This controversy is far from done.
Yeah, and that's a great question because we've all been so worried about them answering the question in the first place about what is net neutrality, how is it being defined, who's going to make the decisions, and how is it being regulated, and all these kinds of questions may finally now be sort of at least answered in the short, but in the long, we don't know. I don't know what, how do you know what the next step, how do you even speculate?
There's two main roads, right? One is, and I haven't got a chance to read it yet, but I just noticed John Brodkin, who covers this so well for Ars Technica. If you really want to know about stuff, go read his stuff at Ars Technica. And when I say know about stuff, I mean stuff related to net neutrality.
He's very credible, we could say.
Yeah,
say
that, yeah. He is. He really is. he's talking about sort of the plans of congressional representatives to continue to try to overrule open internet rules. They're holding a hearing this morning with the Communications Technology Subcommittee. This is a full court press and they're not stopping. The other road besides that, that's the political one. We've turned this into a political football and there's, you know, a presidential election coming up in a couple of years that we need to use this for. The other road is what are the consequences? And I don't think that has been adequately studied. Because this has become a political football and not just on one side. We now have Title II regulations heavily forbeared to try to mitigate most of the consequences. But we really don't know what that means because what has happened before is internet rules have been put out. ISPs have generally followed them, to be honest, with a few very minor and somewhat controversial exceptions. Mm. And then the ISPs have gone to court and sued to get them overturned.
Yeah.
So nobody's really trampled on the rules, but no one's actually had the rules existing in a legal framework long enough for the other thing to happen, which is the FCC to come in and fine someone or punish someone for violating.
And nobody's going to go, uncle, and just roll over, right? I mean, I think we can safely say that anyone who doesn't like this vote, wherever they land on this, they're going to fight this. So it's going to get ugly. It's not like they're suddenly going to go, okay, and then just do it, you know?
Yeah, right. And I think probably my best guess, and this is where I'm like, don't believe me when I say this because I have not really adequately studied it to find out. But my best guess right from what I know right the second is that we probably will see some kind of bill passed in the House and probably the Senate as well. Forth to the president, and the president vetoes it, and then this issue starts to become one of the minor planks, not the major one, but one of the planks in the presidential election of 2016.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I had a conversation with a neighbor yesterday. I should just share this real quick because it has to do with that election and some of this kind of thing, and this could be lumped in there, I suppose, but if all this stuff passes muster now, and then, you know, it's argued about or whatever. Maybe some people sue for change or whatever, but for the most part, there's new rules in place and people are supposed to comply. Take that, take the Affordable Health Care Act, take any number of other things that may or may not have been put into place during the Obama administration, or for that matter, take anything Bush implemented or anything Reagan did or Clinton or anybody else. I've got a neighbor who is convinced that when the election rolls around, all the things he doesn't like will just be repealed. And I don't know how to have a conversation with this guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like saying like this, like, Tom, you're in charge of, I don't know, you're in charge of putting up the walls in this house we're all going to build together. And you take care of that. But now you've been ousted, or someone else has been voted in as guy in charge of walls. And then that guy, people expect him to just tear down the walls and start over despite all the cost and waste that is. How do you tell a guy, how do you explain to somebody that it doesn't work that way? He's convinced that all of the quote-unquote wrongs that Obama has levied against the American people will just be erased and they'll start over with all that stuff.
You know, there are certain people that you're not going to get them to see that.
Yeah.
Right? They have set their hearts on that being the reality and they won't give it up.
Yeah.
But the rational way to do it would be to say, listen, when President Obama was elected with a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, we got virtually nothing changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you barely got healthcare changed.
Yeah.
And a lot of the promises that were made during that presidential election were not fulfilled. You know, Guantanamo Bay comes to mind for one.
Sure.
But I'm sure you could, you know, with a quick internet search, remind yourself of a few others and say, like, look, dude, this didn't happen the last time. It's not that simple. It's not about, like, oh, well, this party wins the presidency and so they get to change everything.
Like a coup.
And I think that people like your neighbor think that because this is what most of the US news channels push at them, is that that everything has changed, even though it hasn't.
Yeah. So this idea of net neutrality, which he automatically, by the way, so the reason that I even bring this up, so he automatically thinks this is a terrible idea because it must be because it's happening during his administration.
Sure.
So the bias has already kicked in there, but I can't have lunch with him anymore. That's all I'm saying. I just can't do
it. That's so sad.
I know it is sad. I tried.
And here's the thing. There are very rational, excellent reasons to believe that these open internet rules are a horrible thing.
Yeah.
I actually believe some of them myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the best thing we can do. However, it's believing it just because, oh, well, that party seems to be behind it.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. And that is my point. And thank you, Tom, for helping me come to this point, which is really, I can't have lunch with him anymore. No, I'm just kidding. Hey,
it's on you.
Jeff, if you're listening, I'll totally go to lunch. It's fine, Jeff. All right, go ahead.
The opposite thing happened with the FCC in 2002 when Michael Powell was the chairman of the FCC, a Republican appointee. And they put through new media ownership rules that allowed it more concentrated ownership of media. And in fact, the Democrats in that case did get the FCC to make their proposed rules public before the vote, which is, as I said, very rare.
Yeah.
The idea of not making the rules public before the vote is that you open up all of this lobbying, as the FCC did, for a year before you vote on the rules, and then you shut it down so that the lobbyists no longer have influence. It's a quiet period for the commissioners to consider the rules on their own, mm-hmm, without any outside influence.
Yeah.
And so in rare cases, they'll say, well, the interest in this case is such that we don't need that quiet period. So they did that when they voted on new media ownership rules, and it still passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats said this is going to ruin the landscape of media ownership in America. And it has certainly had effects. And you can point to bad effects. You can point to good effects, but did not ruin the media landscape in the U.S. The media landscape in 2001 is in large part very similar to the landscape in 2015, except for the effects of the internet, which had nothing to do with those media ownership.
So you're saying hyperbole still a threat?
I'm saying hyperbole is the worst, Scott. It will ruin this country.
Well, until we start calling it Hyper Bowl like it's spelled, then forget it. I'm out.
I think that should be
favorite pinball game. For
yeah, exactly. Hyper Bowl. January 1st, you sit down with a bowl of popcorn and watch the Hyper Bowl.
Oh, it's amazing, right? Future sports. That's what I want. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Always fun to elevate the conversation into this, these higher stratospheres of technical Yahoo, and I like that.
Such credibility.
Yeah, credibility. It's credible. It's credible. Incredible, really, is what I'd say. Tom Merritt, also a man you'll see at Nerdtacular 2015.
Yes, I will be there.
He will be there. He'll also be this week, this Friday, he'll be on an episode of Current Geek with me and on DTNS between now and then. Lots. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Two things. One, you were talking about the guy who puts up the walls, and then you change the guy who puts up the walls, which in Spanish would be La Presidente.
Hey, see? That's why we bring you on. More credibility. Second, yeah.
Scott Johnson has created another fantastic book cover for me, which I cannot thank you enough for. Citadel 32, A Tale of the Aggregate. The Morning Stream is getting the first announcement of this. Mm. It is available at tommerrittbooks.com. You can find it in print, in EPUB, and Kindle. And as always, it will start to filter out to other things like Nook and iBooks and Amazon and Barnes & Noble print versions sooner or later. But if you want to pick it up right away, it's fiction. It's a novella. Part of it is set on the moon in a base that was cut off from the Earth after sort of apocalyptic events on the ground. And the other part is set on the ground in the remains of humanity post-apocalypse.
It's awesome. I really, really dig it. And doing the cover was really fun. It inspired me to go a little bit further than I usually go with these kinds of things in terms of ideas and stuff. So here's my thinking. People pick up this book in print now when it's available today, right? Is it today?
It's there. It's already
up there now. Yeah. Get it today. Get the hard copy of it if that's what you so desire, and then bring it with you in July, end of July, to Nerdtacular, and have Tom sign his book and have me sign the cover for the art, and you'll be a happier dude because you'll have a signed version of Citadel 32, A Tale of the Aggregate. Boom.
I'll sign it on the inside like authors do, and Scott can sign it on the outside, which is adding to his own art.
Weird. Think of that. Crazy. Anyway, I'm very proud of it. We'll link it later on Twitter as well, or I will. I know Tom has, but we'll spread that around and get people in the know. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Have a fantastic week. I'll see you on Friday for Current Geek.
See you then.
See you, Tom.
Bye now. All right.
Pretty good.
That was a jovial time.
Yeah.
All right. we're almost done, but we do have a couple emails, and they're brought to you by
Little Tiny Dot, yet another show that will nag you into watching Black Mirror. Enjoyed that talent show episode? Well, visit poddle.fm/LTD to hear the original song in full.
I forgot to play for Nicole while she was here this, which is her son's new rendition of the Better Call Saul theme. Okay, so here it is.
Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul. The soup is
he sang that nice little video, and I thought it was cute, and I forgot to.
That's adorable.
Thought to get made to play when she was here, but I didn't. All right, let's start with an email from. Oh crap! I didn't get a name. Yojo the Hobo, I guess.
Yeah, that we'll call him that. Yojo the Hobo.
Yojo the Hobo writes, "Hey, Superion and Bruticus. One last point on the whole TV series that did stunt shows. I can't believe Scott didn't mention when the West Wing did their live episode. It was episode seven of season seven, which was called The Debate, and it was rad. I just kind of forgot because when you see it on Netflix, you forget that, oh yeah, that was live and it was a big stunt. This is where Matthew Santos, a.k.a. Jimmy Smits, and Arnold Vinnick, a.k.a. Alan Alda, had a debate on live TV. There were two versions, one for Eastern Time Zone, one for Central. I didn't catch the show back when it was on TV, but thanks to Scott's occasional mentions, I've watched it about four times now, all the way through. Such an awesome show. I agree. Thanks, fellas. Yo-Jo the Hobo. So here's the deal. That was awesome because I didn't know it at the time, but they improv that entire debate.
Really?
Based on their characters, yeah. So they bring up like issues and then they would debate them as those characters.
Wow.
Pretty
that's
neat.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty neat. Yeah. And I don't mention enough, as much as I've been bringing up MASH lately, how great Alan Alda was in those last couple seasons. He was fan-freaking-tastic.
Have to check that out. ER and 30 Rock also did live episodes where they had to do two different versions, one for the East Coast and one for the West Coast.
Oh, that's right. They were I remember the ER one and having it feel very live.
Yeah, Yeah, the camera, like, because when you see that show so much with that film technique, yeah. the way that they make it, kind of a little bit grainy.
Yeah, like video cameras or something.
Right, exactly. And then you switch it over to the live version. It's like, whoa, this feels completely, it's like a home movie of VR.
Yeah, that was weird. And then I forgot Tarantino directed one. You could kind of call that a stunt.
Oh yeah, right.
I don't remember it feeling particularly.
Was it X-Files that he also directed, or
I
was
think
it?
So. Yeah, I think X-Files.
Fringe. I think he directed a Fringe too.
Did he really? That's funny. Just the shows he likes, I guess. He gets to call him up and go, "Hey, I was looking at my feet here, and I decided, can I direct one of your shows, please?" That's a terrible impression.
Pretty close, actually.
Maybe he's a guy you do a lot of impressions now.
Maybe he's.
I don't know. Hateful Eight. Can't wait. George wrote in. George says this. Scott, quick question I had after watching the newest RoboCop movie. I wanted to share it your way. With how easy Netflix has made watching multiple seasons of television shows at once, I'm finding myself less satisfied with what now seems a crammed and truncated story that only a 120-minute movie can offer. That's interesting. I thought about this too, actually, recently.
Really?
The Star Trek thing keeps coming up in my head, where a series is always so much better than a movie because the movie can't stretch the story out enough. It has to compress everything.
Yeah, but a movie, Star Trek movies don't have, I'm sorry, Star Trek seasons usually don't have story arcs that last more than two episodes, right? It's like maybe a cliffhanger episode goes into the next one, but that's it.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a bad example, but like
Justified's a great example of like this overarching story that takes 9-10 episodes to tell.
Sure. I like the thing I always liked about that show though, and still like about it, is that they still intersperse the smaller ones in it though. Like they'll get a one-off episode where you'll never see that person again. They did that with last season, Andy Tudyk's role for that one episode.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Fan-freaking-tastic, by the way. if you want to see Andy Tudyk shoot Will Sasso, there's your chance. Anyway, yeah, I know what he's saying, though. This idea of being able to stretch out a story and give it the room to breathe. Like a Game of Thrones movie would suck compared to a Game of Thrones series.
Right. Archeneer brings up True Detective. Great example of a 10-hour movie. Yeah. Perfect example.
Yeah, that's a great one. Oh, that show. When's the new one coming? That was so freaking good.
I don't know.
Oh. Except I'm not sure about all these new people that are in it, but still, whatever. That first season, that's a moment in time. What an incredible thing that was.
Not looking forward to Vince Vaughn and True Detective?
I don't know. He's okay. Is he in it?
Yeah.
Okay. He's fine. I've seen, he's done things that were less goofy that I was okay with. So maybe he can pull it off. Maybe it's time to return to his roots. I don't know. Anyway, he says, my main point is I find myself enjoying the long form, fleshed out story that seasons long shows can give me over a massively expensive 120 minutes. I don't know why I said 127. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Because that would be the James Franco series.
Oh, yeah. Was that 127 hours? Is that the name of it?
It was 127 hours, yeah.
All right. Should know that. That happened in Moab, for heaven's sakes. We should go there and get our arms stuck and eat sushi. Why not?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that. That'll be the TMS meetup.
Yeah.
Find a big boulder. Everybody who shows up will pin our arms under that boulder and drink our pee.
Drink our pee. Yeah. RP. Role playing. we got a call to finish things out.
Okay.
This is about me and my lack of book reading.
Scott, how have you not read Ready Player One? That book just has your name all over it. That book screams Scott Johnson. So many 80s references, so many pop culture references. It's just right up your alley. You have to read that book. I mean, you have to read it. Thanks.
Okay, I have to read it. And it's
you have to read it, Scott.
You have to read it. Emphasis on have to.
Have to. When are you going to come see the baby?
You need to see the baby.
It's funny. This actually, Ready Player One just got included in the most recent Loot Crate.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
All the Loot Craters out there got a copy of Ready Player One in the most recent box.
Oh, that's super rad. Who would have known? Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I want to read it. It's on my table there, my side table. So I'm going to read it at some point. Maybe after I finish this little sci-fi novel I'm in there right now, I'll try.
There you go. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Oh yeah, you read it, didn't you?
And something behind me even makes a cameo appearance in it.
Hold on. Tempest. Does it? Is that true?
Yep.
Not the blow up doll with the coconut boobs.
Not the blow up doll with the coconut boobs.
All right. Too bad, because that would have been great.
Hubba hubba.
I know, right? That's it. That's all that we have. That's all we have to read and say. And if you want to send your own phone calls in, they are at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Don't forget Nerdtacular tickets at nerdtacular.com. Available now as of 9 o'clock this morning. So go get yours today. TheMorningStream at gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, find us at MorningStream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. You have a Coverville today. What's going on?
There will be, yes. So Howard Jones celebrating a birthday this week. Karen Carpenter of the Carpenters would have been celebrating a birthday this week. Mm-hmm. So how about covers of both of them? And, you know, the Carpenters, for being the soft rock, light rock kind of band, you'll be amazed at who has covered Carpenters music. Shona Knife, Sonic Youth, you know, for people who are like, Carpenters, I don't know if I want to listen to smarmy Carpenters songs. Well, when you hear them by other people, they're brilliant.
There are
long ago and so far away.
Howard Jones still looks a bit like me, and I don't like it. It's weird. If you do a Google search for Howard Jones today, like currently, I look a lot like Howard Jones. It's kind of weird.
That's funny.
And hee-hee-hoo! Happy birthday to him. All right. Well, cool. Let's get out of here with some songs of our own picking.
Okay.
And you've picked one. What do you got there?
I have. This one's going out to Jeff Stewart, who emailed in, said, "Hey, Poop Jokes and Brian, the 25th of February is my 25th birthday." Yeah, we're actually celebrating somebody's birthday actually on their birthday. How about that? "There's nothing I would love to hear more than a cover of Helmet's song High Visibility by one of my favorite bands, Chevelle. If you can't make that happen, something similarly rockin' would be great. Also, just want to make a shout out to all my fellow Diamond Clubbers listening to this. I love you all in the creepiest way possible. No hobo, though." Signed, Jeff, a.k.a. Metal Mongrel in the Tadpole.
Ah, the crossover continues. The Diamond Club Tadpole crossover.
You got your Diamond Club and my TMS.
That's right. The inbreeding weird crossover. Anyway.
Chevelle did that great cover of Helmet's song. I don't have that, but I do have another cover that Chevelle did that's very, very good. This one comes from a 2007 album called Wonder What's Next. It's a cover of Depeche Mode's It's No Good.
All right. Well, let's play it. I'm not yawning at you. I'm yawning because I need to lay down. This cold is knocking me on my butt. I hate it. F this cold is the phrase of the day. F this cold.
F this cold.
Oh, wait, the cold replied. What does it say?
I don't give a shit.
Okay, great. Aww. Thanks, cold.
By the way, this Sunday, we find out if we made any nominations in the podcast awards.
Oh, is it this weekend? All right.
Sunday.
We'll find out. So will you, fine listener. All right, that's it. Here's the song. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Therapy Thursday, all that other good Thursday stuff. And I think we'll have two shows because I think I'm going to, I can't cough. People don't hear me cough on the show very much because I have a cough switch. But I don't think I want to cough during my dental appointment because it's like a 2-hour procedure. So I think I'm going to cancel. So I think that means there's a PM tomorrow. So we'll let you know if it changes. But right now, that's the plan. All right, here you go. Here's your music. We'll see you guys then.
China.